Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
WWE Elimination Chamber's in the books. The road to WrestleMania gets into the fast lane. VOC Nation Wrestling with History, right after my theme music.
American Dream.
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation,
heard worldwide
on VOCNation.com.
The Insane Clown Posse.
We can't thank all you guys enough. Whoop, whoop.
We understand our audience, and we give them what we think they would want.
We're about pleasing the fans.
Road Warrior Hannibal.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
The wrestling has changed so much.
Conan.
Yo, this is K-Dog Yo with Bowdy Bowdy and Rowdy Rowdy.
Hall of Fame ring announcer Howard Finkel.
Brilliance was Bobby Heenan's middle name.
Lex Luger. God's given me a whole new perspective on wrestling and the fans.
WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Right off, thanks for having me on your radio show from the Jersey Shore.
The legendary Diamond Dallas.
Bang!
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
I put my name in, but again, we're just waiting for a phone call.
You could be Moroccan, Algerian, Albanian, Greek.
This is the best crowd I've ever seen in my entire life.
I love cheesecake.
I do not respond to his lunacy.
Malcolmania.
And I don't think Hollywood's ready for Malcolmania, but we'll wait still.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Your talk show here that I'm doing here is the best one.
Jimmy Hart.
I've been lucky every day I get up and look in the mirror and pinch myself.
The ninth wonder of the world. China.
I told Vince, I said, yeah, I'm going to wrestle the guys. And that's how it started.
X-Pac.
We're wrestlers, and it's still a wrestling show.
Mr. Scott Hall.
Hey, yo, I want to rock the wrestling world again.
OneWrestling.com. Bill After.
If it wasn't for Hogan and Vince McMahon, sports entertainment would not be in existence.
We have a bushwhacker in the house.
G'day, mateys. It's bloody lovely being on your show.
MVP.
I came up with the MVP concept based on everything that's wrong with pro athletes today.
VOC Nation, heard worldwide.
This right here is the future of wrestling.
VOC Nation Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, Bruce Word, Namar Wells, back again, episode 13, I believe this is, Namar. It's gone really fast, right? We were having a good time.
I can't believe, honestly, that it's 13. Are you serious? It can't be.
Episode number 13, and I apologize to everybody because this is the fourth episode in a row where I'm sitting in my car. I've recorded two in my car by myself where you can hear like the thump or the, not the thump, but the hissing of the wind, and I'm just driving down the road with nothing to do, so I recorded some little bonus episodes. But last week it sounded terrible because I had my headphones in. This week I'm trying something different, but I'm in my car because, you know, I talk with when you do these things, you use the projected radio voice, and nobody wants to do that at midnight when you're in a small house not that it's a bad thing, but we just got a bunch of people piled in with my mother-in-law.
Well, all right. I mean,
we're in between houses. I'm not homeless. Don't send any GoFundMes and no donations to the 38 people or so that listen. But we sold our house and we're moving to a new house, but we're just in between.
He's moving to Oklahoma, fans. Feel free to
in my car.
Yes. Bruce, you know, it's funny that you mentioned when you said do not send anything in, because I just saw a video about Virgil. And
oh, Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, Virgil's living in a room, and it really makes me think, because wrestlers, there's a weird thing with wrestling and their fans, where wrestlers are able to, you know, to fail in life financially in a lot of ways, and some of them at the end or when times are rough, you know, they will get into a situation where there's, you know, fundraisers for them, where they could always go to the fans for money or, you know, to support them.
Yeah.
And you don't hear about that in any other sport.
That's right. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a very unique situation where you encounter that. You can't think of a bunch of baseball players where there's been fundraisers for them, you know, to get into medical treatment or whatever. You just don't hear about those things the way you do with wrestlers. And it's weird because, you know, it makes you torn, because obviously I believe in charity. I know you believe in charity. We both support various charities. One of the bright spots in our friendship to be able to say that, because we haven't done it together, but we both do it. And I think that is, you know, something to look at, that I'm glad we share that in common. So we both believe in that. But where do you go when, you know, said person, despite the ruggedness of the road, would wrestlers go through, right?
Mm-hmm.
When are wrestlers responsible? When are they accountable? You know, if you think of, a wrestler was making, let's say, $300,000 a year in 1987, 1988, but we know that he doesn't have insurance for him or his family, he'd have to buy it out of pocket. We know, unless his wife was able to get insurance and cover them if she worked. Then we think about the fact that they travel, so the cost of their travel and living.
Right, those WWE paid for the plane, right? Not the hotel. Is that how it worked? Where they had to drive in a lot of these territories?
Yeah, see, I don't remember 100% with that, but I know that their out-of-pocket cost was a lot.
Yeah.
And so, and I think it's more than what it is today. I think wrestlers still are responsible. I was actually surprised to see that when there was some wrestling event that I went to, and a WWF event. That was the first time. That was before CM Punk was became popular. He had just joined the WWF, and he was greeted all the fans. I didn't even know who he was, but I took a picture with him. My buddy at the time, he has the picture. But they all piled into this car, and including Viscera, and it was a tiny rental. It literally looked like a bunch of, like how a clown car is at the carnival. They all piled in. It was unreal. And you know, and I said, I can't believe that they're still doing this. I think it was the WWF should foot the bill of at least getting them buses to shuttle them back and forth. I mean, it's ridiculous. So either which way, we know they had a lot of out-of-pocket expenses, but they also made a lot of money. When are they accountable? Like, you'd have to think about a Virgil. How much, if Virgil was making, let's say, he had a $200,000, maybe $250 contract during the 90s when he actually was with the NWO. I can't imagine that he had less than that. I mean, he might have had. But, you know,
He was a bit player, though. I mean, he's not – I don't know. I don't know how much he would have made. He probably made a decent amount of money. Remember, DiBiase was in the top of the card for a lot of those WWF house shows in the 80s. He probably made a good amount of money then.
Right, because the managers also got paid more.
Right.
According to where their person was positioned on the card. So that's my point. He's played at various roles. He's been able to last a time where he should have made significant money over the course of his career. And it lasted a lot longer than you would even expect it to have warranted. Like, he was with the NWO. So, but we know that WCW was giving out these really big contracts.
Right.
And so, and you, it's like, when does the wrestler become accountable?
So I think the difference between baseball, football, basketball, and pro wrestling is wrestling, they don't have a union. You know, they didn't have medical benefits. They didn't get a lot of the guidance that, you know, professional baseball players and basketball players, football players have. They didn't have agents, a lot of them. So I think especially in Virgil's time, maybe you give him a pass because they didn't have the means to get the things that you're saying. I don't know, but I mean, there's a lot of them, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts, had the fans fund one of his surgeries, and there was some chatter about that. I think it's hard, Namar, because of the fact that these guys don't have what most professional athletes have in terms of accessibility.
Well, you sure are running it down there, Bruce. I agree. Well, like I told you. No, I agree. That's why I told you I'm torn, because I do understand that fact. But there is something that makes me just you know, just have to ask the question, like, when does a, like, you just hear this story over again, and it's like, well, you know this, I don't know, it's almost like, wait, so wrestlers never smartened up to put money away or to learn to be responsible? It's just like, because there's so many of them. And at what point do you not expect them to have smartened up? And I'm not using that term like from the wrestling standpoint, but I mean it literally. Like, when do you really like work to get wise? Because there's been, if that's the case, what about the wrestlers before them? Did they all die broken, penniless?
Well, I think a lot of them did. And it's like, because remember, they're just, it's like they're in the old times, they're one step removed from carnies. And it was like a traveling carnival act. And a lot of the people that got into it, they got into it because somebody brought them into it. It wasn't like today where they're recruiting these massive talented athletes into the business. They're getting, I mean, a lot of the old time wrestlers are like glorified bar fighters, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
But so they weren't sharpest tools in the shed. I mean, I'm not trying to insult anybody's intelligence, but
you did, and it's okay. It's on record. Don't edit it out.
I'll get some nasty hate emails, tweets at Brady Hicks on Twitter.
Right. So we know, Bruce, you're saying that they are a stone's throw away from saying that they're addled enough to get a check to be a wrestler. We get it. So Harley Race, Bruno Sammartino, yeah. George the Animal Steele.
Well, George Steele was a professor, right? He was an English professor or something like that in the University of Pittsburgh.
But he also was a wrestler. So by your definition, they're almost close enough to being able to get a check every month, right?
I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying that in the older school wrestlers in the 60s, 70s, and the 80s are not the same as today. They didn't have the same.
Okay, and you're right. You're right. But this is what I'm saying. That's perfect that you said that. The time reference was perfect because Virgil came up in the 80s and he had to be making big money in the 90s. So all of those people that were broke in the 60s and 70s into the early 80s, he would had to have been aware of them. Wrestlers as a whole would had to have been aware of that. And they had to have known, they knew they were making astronomical money. More money than they would have made of wrestling. And that's another thing. Let's thank Hulk Hogan for that, because Hogan elevating the game is what has given them more awareness and security.
And always comes back to Hogan.
It always does. And I'm gonna tell you, Bruce, I thought about that watching the Elimination Chamber. I said, wow, thank you, Hulk Hogan. Look at what you did. I said, I swear to goodness. And I'm gonna tell you where it came up. when they showed the crowd shot, and I said to myself, look at this.
It looked like a Silverdome, didn't it?
Bruce, yes, but yeah, especially
the daylight part.
And think about it. They were able to attract that many people to this horrific event with some of the worst wrestling. No, it was, the Elimination Chamber was horrible. It was horrible. And I have a lot to say. I have a lot to say about it. Okay? I have a lot to say about it. So, wrestling, and this is the marvel of wrestling. So, thank you, Hulk Hogan. When all those idiots ask the question, they say, Hulk, Mr. Perfect should have had the title.
Rick He's Rude, a better worker.
Yeah, Rick Rude should have had the title. And they're breathing out all his, Rick Rude.
Who are you? Title. Hmm? Are these fans, or is this like
the fans? All the Meltzer idiots and the Cornette weirdos.
Meltzer was arguing with me on Twitter for a little bit.
Yeah, we have to get to that. But back to Hogan, right? Because he's the man. He's the reason why we're talking today.
Not to Dave.
Listen, because Dave's an idiot, and you can share it, you know, with your, you know. Is a moron. The man, Dave Meltzer, him and Cornette have been so destructive to professional wrestling. It's unreal. They are the reason why wrestling, Cornette is the reason why wrestling is a bitter fruit experience amongst the fans. And Meltzer is a reason why we have the plastic, fantastic, empty wrestling of today. Those they have been so destructive to professional wrestling. It's been unreal to me. I can't stand either one of them, because the thing that, you know, because this is my point. They were able to attract that many people to this silly Elimination Chamber event. Who cares? And the main event, the Elimination Chamber, was horrible. It was ridiculous. The concept is stupid. It looked stupid. It looked like a game show. It looked like a modern game show. And the camera angles, it was ridiculous.
I could see that. Sorry to interrupt you. I could see that. I could see where you say it looks like a modern game show. I get that. What stood out to me is I thought about being in the stadium for that. Like, who the hell could see this stuff? You're gonna have to watch it on the video screen. But you, Bruce, can't see into the structure.
But Bruce, that's what I'm talking about. Because it was Hulk Hogan winning all the time, as we see the people cheered for him, that he was able to take wrestling from the dregs that it was, because it was in the dregs, and at the literally a snap of a finger, and all of those years subsequently back to back, to get wrestling to the point where it's an evergreen staple of success. We know they have lower viewership. We know that they are, that even the people who watch it, a majority of them hate it. We know that the sentiment around the product is weak overall. And yet, where are we at? They still have toys on the shelves. Mattel is making money. They're flatlining, but it was able to give Mattel success where they constantly have wrestlers on the shelves 24/7, 365. It's a 365 event where, you know, it's on all the time. They're signing billion-dollar contracts. And we know that, just like with regular sports, when boxing goes down or when basketball goes down or baseball goes down, and then it goes back up and then it's exciting. But they're always evergreens. We know that they're there. They are a sport. It'll be a very long time before they ever completely fade away. That is where wrestling is now, that even at this severely low point, this severely low point to be a wrestling fan for the wrestling experience, they're able to still have this evergreen success. And I am going to give credit to the man who put it there, who off his back, he lifted it up and he put it right on the shelf. That it's
Vincent
never
Kennedy McMahon.
He was important too. He had the vision. He had the vision, but the player, the man who had the ball to make the magic happen, that man was Hulk Hogan.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Bruce Prichard.
Shaking his rump. Love you. But yeah, so when I watched it, I did have that thought about Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, because think about it, Bruce. Wrestling is at an evergreen point in this world.
You're
and
right.
It was not like that. It literally happened instantaneously. But where it was able to sustain was those years of a certain individual being successful and putting it on the map. It's amazing to think that wrestling, the lows and highs that it has gone through, that it's still this massive multi-billion dollar international what do you call it? This humongous evergreen that is still thriving, that they can have a $1 billion contract even though less people are interested in the product.
Well, it's another golden age. It's another golden age right now. And the product is as hot as ever been. And you know what Vince did?
What's that?
He sold it.
Vince McMahon, it's funny. You just live long enough. You live long enough and you'll see the some people really just lose it. And I never thought in a million years that he would have sold the WWF.
Well, he pooped on somebody's head too. You never thought that you'd see that in a million years.
Well, actually, once the stories, you know, about him started to come out and I really started paying attention to him, that I could believe more so than him selling or merging the company, which they lost that merger. We know that who did they merge with, Bruce?
Okay, it's a UFC.
Right. We know that they were the dominant player in that merger because one really swallows up the other. And
you think WWE is the dominant player or UFC?
UFC.
Well, I don't know. I mean, who got a $5 billion contract on Netflix and who didn't?
Yeah, but still, they're running the show. Wasn't Vince just basically a figurehead there?
Well, but that's Ari Emanuel. So UFC, the company Endeavor bought UFC and WWE. So it's not UFC's buying WWE. This is Ari Emanuel and his private equity were buying both and putting them together under TKO.
Right. Who pressured Vince to do that?
Well, I guess. See, the WWE board, there's the whole story. And I know you don't follow the modern stuff as much as you did back in the, the 80s. But the WWE board pushed Vince out. And then Vince still had the highest number of shares. So he had the highest number of voting shares. So they pushed him out. Nick Khan, Stephanie McMahon, Triple H are running the show. Vince comes back with a fury, kicks out the entire board of directors, brings in his own people and says, you can't sell this company unless I'm part of the process.
But that, so Bruce, you want something? That story I actually was aware of. That up past that, I'm not. But that's what's interesting. He still has unnecessarily given up all of this power.
Right.
For money that he doesn't spend anyway.
I don't know. I mean, now he's not part of it at all. I don't know how many shares he has, but he's surely been kicked out after all of the stuff that's happened. Who knows how it'll come out in court, but I think we'll never hear from Vince again.
Yeah, but that's the point. He, all the steps taken to get here was all, the WWF has been sucked up underneath, you know, maybe not the UFC, as I said, or how I understood it, that, like you said, that part I don't follow with.
Yeah.
But the fact that we got to that point where he, even though he had sold portions, he still was powerful enough to come back, because that's when he had that other scandal and they made him go. And then he eventually came back and did all of that. That's what I'm saying. Like, what was the point of doing all of this? You and your wife are old. Your children don't need money. You're going to leave them a fortune already, and you leave them with a company that they can still continue to make money off of. So who pressured him to go through all these steps to relinquish the WWF?
Well, maybe he knew this was coming. Maybe he knew this was this whole story scandal was going to come out and hit the streets, and he wanted to get out of Dodge.
Very interesting, but he's still on the hook for the bill. So this is, I guess that's where they're going to have to untangle things if it goes any further, is really just figuring out where the responsibility lies, because I'm only hearing secondhand information, but I know some of the things that people were saying was that he was spending the way he spent the company money might have been in error regarding the settlement. So yeah, Vince just, I don't know. It's bizarre. And if he did, then that, you know, just what a series of missteps, even if he thought he would be protected and learned he wasn't, just what a phenomenal set of missteps, and all unnecessary. Everything was completely unnecessary. So it's very bizarre, because he still would be making millions of dollars a year today. And still having that $1 billion contract today, even with the business being as low. So what did he really gain from selling off the WWF?
You cash out. You cash out, I guess.
But that's what I'm saying. Vince is not the person to... He's a workaholic. He never spent... And this is one thing that Cornette said about him, which speaks to the psychology of Vince, which is why he's so... Vince is a true enigma, because the contrasting stories are incredible. But Vince is, Cornette said that when Vince was encouraging him to enjoy being up in New York, and they were driving through Manhattan or whatever, and they were looking at all the plays or whatever, and he said that, oh, you could do this, and you have these restaurants, oh. And he's thinking to himself, Vince, you've been doing this. You don't go to these things either. You know, he doesn't, you never hear about Vince on vacation.
Right.
Like you hear about him being available 3 o'clock in the morning, never sleeping, and always being engaged and involved. He lives a very charmed life, a very easy life, but he's not living. That's right. Not, you know, so there is a disconnect. So people say, well, if that's what makes him happy, no, there's something wrong with that.
I agree.
Yeah, you're not, he's not even spending the money. He's not even living the life of a truly wealthy man. He's living the life of a rich psychotic.
Right. Well, that's what he is. What he is.
So, yeah. So,
and apparently he liked to take advantage of people. Like that was part of his fun, was taking advantage of people in the sickest of ways. He was a sociopath.
He really was. Vince enjoys humiliation. Go ahead, aren't you? We both
is. I'm just saying is.
Yeah, it's just, I'm telling you, Bruce, it's a very strange, bizarre situation. And Vince has lived long enough to completely ruin everything. Because he sold out his family for nothing. Because it's just unreal to me. Nothing means anything. I really thought he was going to leave it to his children. Vince still shocked me with that.
I guess Triple H is still involved, so Stephanie is kind of still. I mean, she's not, right, technically, but the family. Hunter is part of the family, right?
Yep.
So maybe, but yeah, he didn't leave it to his family. He sold it off for lots of money. He sold it. So listen, last week, before we get more into the chamber, and it's late, so I don't want this show to last forever. I did reflect on last week, Demar, and I was a little bit angry. You know, it's been a tough time for me. We're in between houses, haven't gotten into the new house yet. It's not ready until next week. And, you know, just stress. So I offended some people, and Brian Last and Conrad Thompson and Brady Hicks. I offended them. And I'm here to announce my apology. And I've gotten your tweets at WWHVOC. And I want to say I'm sorry, especially you, Brady. I know that the callers take advantage of you. And you might like that. Some people do have a masochistic spirit. And if you are one of them, that's fine. I wouldn't give out my home phone number, but all good. I wrote a poem tomorrow.
Let's hear it.
Okay. And this is the dedication I have to our audience. I wrote a poem about you and about the other podcasts. Not about you, Namar Wells, but about our audience and the other podcasts.
You know, Bruce, you are channeling your Leaping Lanny Poffo, and I'm, yes. So in your little short trunks and your white boots, that disgusting combination with your porn stash,
yeah,
your mullet, as you channel that spirit, let us hear your poem.
I'll read it. Okay. Everyone, hurry, fast. Wrestling has another podcast. Is it Conrad Thompson or Brian Last? Maybe it's Bob Orton in that stupid cast. Just like we all have hands, podcasts are another way that old school wrestlers communicate with fans. Who will Connie wrangle next to talk about Vince's filthy sex? Does Cody's story mean something to you? The Rock's interruption made Dave LaGreca go boo-hoo. Jim Cornette can be such an ass, and even his lawyer has a stupid podcast. DiBiase says everybody has a pod, and Dave Meltzer's fans think that Dave is a god. Both Pritchards have podcasts, Bruce and Tom. Who is next, Buff Bagwell's mom? Eric Bischoff is one of the best, but Arn and Jeff Jarrett don't pass the test. Brady Hicks, who is he? Was he even on TV? Bully Ray is good, so is Tommy Dreamer, but Jim Cornette's two shows both stink like a steamer. So why should you give us a shot? Wrestling with history is something that those are all not. Authentic, unfiltered, not trying to extort from you. We aren't another 1-900 scheme like the Ross Report. So everyone in podcast land, I ask you just one favor from you, the fans. We aren't trying to take your money. So subscribe, like, or follow. It's free, and you might just find us funny. Sure, Conrad has a million hits, but some of his shows are just the shits. We lost Ken Resnick, Bill Apter, too, but the new Wrestling with History needs only one thing to be great. You. So give us a like, give us a follow, and subscribe, whatever it is, on your favorite podcast app. Follow us on X at WWHVOC. Namar, did that bring a tear to your eye?
Bruce, if you had recited that in a movie, it would be at that moment that they would play, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Cheer, cheer. I cannot believe you actually sat down and wrote that. I mean, you really are losing it. Like, I mean, you were fired up yesterday, but the boldness and that you sat down and wrote that and actually recited, it was good. You are
George really, Conrad has a million hits, but some of his shows are just the shits.
You know, people are turning on him. I'm noticing that in this comment section. Like, people really are sick of him. Like, it is hilarious. Like, the people are really tired of him. They really,
believes, I think Conrad was humble before. Like, he was just a regular guy doing a podcast. Now, you can tell that he believes in his own press.
Yeah, like that, he always references Meltzer. He never calls Meltzer out on his stuff. He acts like the Wrestling Observer is the truth and gun of it all, the law and justice of the land. And people are like, well, they don't care, you know? And he never calls Meltzer out on his stuff. He interrupts the interviewers in a way that the fans find particularly annoying. And that's another thing, like, he does, like, he, I noticed that with Bruce, he would be argumentative, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, shut up. Like, you know, what do you, I don't know if it's done for laughs or you're trying to be funny, but that obnoxious way, you know, and it's just like, come on, dude, get it together.
Can I just say one thing about Meltzer too?
What's that?
Well, I mean, and Dave, I don't have a problem with Dave for the most part. I think Dave is, he is
the worst.
Well, I'm not. I don't look at wrestling like he does, for sure.
Because he's an idiot.
But he's been very successful at this. And what I have to say about him is all of you people that just suck his butthole, like, come on. He, just because he says something doesn't mean you have to go. Like, he, it's like he's a gang leader. It's like he's the mafia don. You say something and then they come out of the woodwork trying to attack you. All I did was respond to his tweet, and then all of them came out to attack me. I just didn't agree with him. That's the, in terms of matches. He says, just a hunch that all of these Danielson dream matches of 2024 will be viewed like the 1989 WCW with all the great matches that year, which actually didn't draw well, but are now talked about as the glory period of wrestling. What the heck are you talking about, Dave? If it didn't draw well and it didn't make money, it's not a glory period of wrestling. It's only glory for people like you that just care about flips and flops and match quality. What I said is a match is only great when it's the payoff of a great story. Having a match for the sake of having a match isn't good business, and it'll never entertain more than a small subsection of wrestling fans. Hence, while AEW, why AEW, is stagnant and never consistently drawn in the U.S., Dave has no concept of what draws, what sells in wrestling. He only caters to a very, very, very small subsection of fans, and that's what AEW does, and that's why it'll never get more than a million viewers. I just don't understand it, Namar. I don't get it.
Well, because the problem is that those people are very vocal and loud. And they have, like I told you, ruined, because wrestling is so bad overall, the fringes have allowed to fester and grow because there's something wrong with them. These are the people, like, you and I love wrestling, but we have a good perspective on where it falls in their life, you know. These are the people that are replacing something with wrestling. It's just
We saw them at the wrestling conventions. The smell would permeate the air from blocks away. We saw them.
These are the people that, where wrestlers coined the term marks. These are the people that they are referring to. They're very low frequency. They are very dim. They have blunt thoughts. And that's why wrestling is the way it is. And the wrestling that they hate is the wrestling that put this wrestling even exists today, because it wouldn't exist today. The Elimination Chamber was horrible.
Well, that's not true.
It was horrible. Bruce. Okay. Well, listen, perfect timing. Let's segue right into that. We know that Dave's a loser. His fans are losers. So let's talk about the Elimination Chamber. What's on your mind?
One more thing about Dave. Oh, my God. He ran last week or 2 weeks ago with an old. So it was a face like Triple H and The Rock were nose to nose. And it was a 20-year-old segment, a 15-year-old segment, something like that. Somebody sent it to him and he said that they were like ready to have a match at WrestleMania. Triple H has a defibrillator in his heart. He's not having a match. Dave ran with it. Somebody tricked him. And then instead of just saying I was wrong and I got tricked, he just took it down. He deleted it.
Right. Well, think about it. The substance of these men, they told you what they are about. In their hearts, they are raging cowards. There's something deeply wrong with them. That's why, think about it. The people who love Meltzer, they love a very empty product, because Dave has clearly, somehow the lines were blurred between looking at gymnastics in the Olympics and wrestling.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's terrible.
He cannot make that distinction. And Cornette is an angry, bitter, womanly, just purposefully nasty, bitter, and his friends and his followers, they feed off of it. It is a festering, miserable, cunty, smelly, angry, bitter, nasty, you know, obsessed, ugly, stinky, insanely, maniacally, ridiculously, wildly, just they're off the wall. 1979.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former WCW performer The Maestro, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Bruce Wirt, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Dangerous Danny Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archived free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at vocnation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
When you say his friends, are you talking about Brian Last?
Yes. Brian, there's something wrong with him. The
Brian
man's
Last.
Yeah, he's up there. He's forced laughing. And it's funny because you can tell when Cornette, that's the funny thing. You can tell when Cornette
is he laughing or is he laughing?
He's laughing.
Not laughing.
Wait a minute. What? He's laughing. Like,
but laughing, not laughing.
Wait, what? You're saying the same word.
Brian says his L's like that.
Say it again.
So Brian Last.
Yes.
Right. We say last and we say laugh. For some reason, he says laugh. Like back of your tongue at the. I can't get it. I don't get it.
Well, you know what's funny? You hate the way.
Sorry, if that's your accent, Brian, I'm sorry. I say water. You know, it's okay. I'm from Philadelphia. I don't know what that accent is, but
I think North Jersey.
North Jersey. But do all North Jerseyans say laugh or lust or liver?
It sounds like you're saying those words regularly, mate. I don't hear it. I'm sorry.
Maybe it's just me. I'm sorry.
Well, Mel, maybe it's the way you're saying it. You know, I'm not saying I don't hear it with him. I'm saying when you say it, I don't hear what you're trying to achieve. But it's funny, though, that you have a problem with the way he says it. And I have a problem with the way he laughs because, you know, he forces it. So he goes into the... He's all... Can you believe Hogan lied? Can you... it's so forced and corny. And think about it. Who are the people that could listen to that? Like, don't get me wrong. Cornette is one of those things when you first discover them, you're like, oh, wow, this is interesting. But yeah. Then, you know, it's like, you know, you really realize like, oh, my gosh, this is like been cooked in some bad oil. This is not good. This is not healthy. This is disgusting, actually. You know, and it's like when you're eating something and you ever eat something and you could just taste how artificial it is. And you might have been enjoying it at first. And you're like, this just tastes plastic. It's, ah, give me something real.
That's well, it's like a hot dog, right? It's yes. Like a hot dog. You see the hot dog. Like I take long drives from right. Multiple states. And sometimes you stop at the travel plaza and you just want a hot dog because you're hungry. Tic Tacs right. aren't enough. And you see the hot dog, you want to eat the hot dog, but then you regret the hot dog in an hour.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Yeah, and you can taste how artificial and your body feels gross. And that's the experience with Cornette. Think about it. The woman he married, her wrestling name was Sin.
Yeah.
Miserable people. Miserable. Nasty. Did you see the video of him at the was it the Dairy Queen? I mean, he really was showing off with the camera. He was showing off with the wrestlers that were in that in the car.
I mean, I didn't see it.
Oh yeah, there's his infamous Dairy Queen video where they're after some event and they're hungry, they go to the Dairy Queen. I mean, and he is just sassy, he's showing off. I mean, and he's just nasty and you know, I mean, how pathetic to have been in the business as long as he had been in by that time, that he would still show off for a bunch of wrestlers in the car, you know. I mean, what a poser and a wannabe, where he he goes in and then he actually gets out the car in the drive through and is cussing out the people. And then he made them.
Did they get his order wrong? Is that what happened?
It was I think the wrestlers were playing around. And so the person thought they weren't being for real. And because two of them were talking into the speaker, I believe I remember that part correctly. And so they didn't make the food. And when they got up to the window, Cornette went off. He was hollering and screaming. He was cussing at the girl. I mean, he actually made him think about it. Would you want those people? This is how ridiculous he is. And he's such a short-sighted person in everything and every way. Why in the world would you have those people make your food after you just acted like that?
Yeah, that's right.
He's an imbecile
yeah.
to the Idiot. Highest degree.
Stupid.
Yeah, and he later apologized. He said, well, because she thought that so-and-so, you know, no, man, you could have reasoned that you were in the car, you were showing off, and the tape just made its rounds. He's a nasty, nasty person. Very nasty, and I don't like him. I think he's a punk, and I think he's trouble, and I think he's been a disease to the wrestling business. All that encyclopedic knowledge of wrestling, and he's a joke. He's a joke historian. He's a joke. He's I don't like him. I think he needs to be, you know, he's the type of guy where I'm just saying it, you know, some people, we live in a world today where, you know, people don't get roughed up, but some people just need a good talking to by some grown men. He's a whiny, crying, you know, tantrum, angry, bitter, sissified, you know, cunty, nasty, venomous, snakely.
Well, guess what?
What?
We are more popular than Jim Cornette is and Brian Last with the Chinese. We're still on the top 25 list in China. Jim Cornette does not appear.
You see that, Cornette? We got right? we are at the top with one half of this world's population.
That's right. We're ahead of JR. We're ahead of Kurt Angle. We're ahead of Ryback. We're ahead of Tony Schiavone. That's
you
all.
You know, it's funny, and I know that they're not half of the population of the earth.
Got close.
Yeah, three-fourths people. But you know, it's funny, Bruce, with everybody having a podcast. Like, first of all, I hate JR, and it's funny because a lot of people are finally catching on to JR not being a very nice person and being a very nasty person in the business. Very jealous.
Fired me twice.
Yeah. He's a very nasty person. And but it's funny to see the guys really push the wrestlers. Like, it's funny because it's like, you know, they're really pushing for content. I mean, these guys are really pushing for content. I mean, that one guy that talks to Jake the Snake, I mean, he's annoying. You know, he's such a twerp. You know, he really pushes Jake. You can see in the time where he's like,
you know, we're like,
sorry, I was trying to look up who it was, and then Bruce Pritchard started talking because that's.
It's no problem. You got to see this guy. I mean, he's so twerpy. If you can find some audio,
I'm looking for it. We'll find it. We'll find it before the end of the show.
Yeah, and he's such a twerpy little, and you could tell when he's pushing Jake, and Jake just does it, and Jake is trying. Like, he may ask, oh Jake, you didn't do one of those. You didn't rip somebody, and Jake would be
Marcus.
Like,
Marcus. His name's Marcus.
Yes. Oh, Marcus, huh? Jake, you didn't rip anybody. Jake's all like, no, man, no, I ain't do that.
Did you hear when Jake talked about Malcolm Wildman on that podcast?
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the guy, he had the little dig at Jake, said he Malcolm's a Hulkamaniac, and the guy was like, oh my god, there you go. He's a Hulkamaniac. He's gotta be crazy. Oh my gosh. Like, it's the most ludicrous thing in the world. Like, what's wrong with them? You see what I'm saying? They're all cunty, little whiny, like just little. It's always some little snicker, some little tell of their little sniveling ways. I can't stand these people. What are you, little creeps? What are you? See, now I'm going off. You even passed that disease on to me.
We'll find it. I'm going to find that. I'm going to find at least the Malcolm Wildman segment.
Bring up the tape, please.
I'm going to get the tape. But let's talk about the Elimination Chamber before we run out of time, because it is getting to be that time. We're recording now after midnight, and all of you have waited long to get our thoughts on the Elimination Chamber. And here's the thing. I might surprise you, Namar. I might surprise you, but my favorite segment of the Elimination Chamber, my favorite match, was the Women's Elimination Chamber. And wow. You know me. You know me well. You've known me for a long time. I've not been a fan of women's wrestling for most of my life. I mean, just not my thing. You know, I love women, but women's wrestling wasn't my thing. Albert, in the old days on WNJC Philadelphia, 1360 AM, where we had many, many years of success, Albert loved women's wrestling. We would always poke at him. The development of the women as workers and as storytellers and cutting promos has been off the charts. And what I saw tonight, both in Rhea Ripley's match and then the Chamber match, was off the charts. And I'll tell you this too, my kids were watching, because they always watch wrestling with me. I always have something on. Like, I usually in the morning when we're, if my wife is out, I'll have like old 80s wrestling on, and they'll watch it with me. But they watched the Elimination Chamber, and they were glued to the TV during the Women's Elimination Chamber match. So that was amazing. And if I was not married to my wife, Tiffany Stratton would be on. Well, she's 20 years younger than me, but she would be on my list. Not that I would be on her list. She would be on my list.
Wow. I must say, Bruce, I don't believe you. I think that the women's wrestling is unwatchable. I think that you're delusional. I think that cliched as it may sound, I think you need to get help because you need to talk to somebody. What is missing in your life that women's wrestling is now good to you? Come on, talk to
me. Great. It was great. I mean, the storytelling was great. Tiffany Stratton, you should have seen some of the moves that she hit. I mean, she was like a gymnast mixed with a wrestler. I mean, listen, I know we just made fun of Dave Meltzer, but and talking about gymnasts and flips and flops, but you got to watch it back. I know you probably didn't watch that match. Do me a favor.
Okay.
Between now and the next time we do a show, watch the WWE Elimination Chamber women's match. It is by far the best match on the card, better than the men's match.
A liar. Yes, I'll watch it.
Please, let's get that on tape. Please.
I'll be honest with you. I did not watch any of the matches, and I was shocked that
you didn't watch any match.
None of the female matches.
Are you playing us for a fool?
No, Bruce, I'm not playing you for a fool. But no, I didn't watch any. It's boring to me. It's more ridiculous than the men's wrestling. It's more ridiculous. It's absurd. It's absurd.
What?
I mean, and then I noticed, and this is when I watched Raw. I forgot to mention this. We now have female referees, right?
Yes, Jessica something or other.
Yeah, I don't like that. So now you know that the referee cannot get involved at all because you know nobody's tossing these women out of the ring like how they did. You know, Heppner and you know, all these people, even the ring announcers, you know, because Fink would take a bump. You know, there's a match with Ultimate Warrior. I mean, everybody knows the Fink goes flying out of the in the Watch SummerSlam 88. The Fink goes flying off the side of the ring from the Ultimate Warrior, hitting the ropes. So, you know, all of that stuff is gone. And we're worse for it. I'm sorry to say we're worse for it. I was very disappointed to see where and people think, oh, you're a misogynist. No, I mean, I have no problem with appreciating the distinctions and differences between men and women. I think that allows for certain dynamics. And I think those dynamics are beautiful and okay. And I don't think they're limiting. There's so much more to discover within certain parameters. And so I don't like the female... The female referee, Bruce. I was disgusted with that. Sorry.
All right. You know, I just, well, never mind. I won't say it. What was your favorite segment of the Elimination Chamber?
I didn't like any of it.
Oh boy.
I can tell you, the tag
even
match.
Delta Burke winning the men's Elimination Chamber, going on to WrestleMania to face Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes calling out The Rock.
Here were my thoughts on the Elimination Chamber. I thought that the concept is ridiculous. The whole, you know, it literally looked like I told you before, it looked like a game show. It looked like, if you remember in the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Running Man, they had a TV show called what was it for dollars? It was something called Climbing for Dollars, right? It reminded me of that. That's how ridiculous it is. It's like a low rent Royal Rumble. I saw Kevin Owens was in it. My brother loved Kevin Owens. He's a chubby guy. No, you know what's special about Kevin Owens? He does all the moves that every other man his size does. It's not the big man doing these things. It's not interesting anymore. I like that they mentioned the Make-A-Wish situation because and thanks to Hogan, he was the one who started that. There you go, another Hogan reference.
Wait a minute. Well, the Make-A-Wish or the Chokeslam?
The Make-A-Wish.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, I thought the timing was terrible. The stuff that just, you know, McIntyre has no presence. Lashley looks amazing, but that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about Lashley, Bruce. What are your thoughts on him? I mean, this dude is amazing, but he can't get over the hump. You know, he's
46 or whatever now. He's not going to get over the hump, and he's not believable. He doesn't have, he looks like too much of a nice guy, and he doesn't have his voice isn't mean enough. Like he's not good on the microphone. You almost have to, I don't know. It's just not believable to me.
Well, that's the thing with him. It's like when he was in its prime, why did it not go to the level? Cause he looks like a million bucks, right? He looks amazing. He can wrestle. Whenever I've seen him, he could wrestle. And you would think he would be one of the people primed to be a champion that you could build the franchise around, even if you gave him a mouthpiece. Brock has a mouthpiece. So not having a mouthpiece is not necessarily a deficient thing.
They tried with MVP a while ago, and it just I know you weren't definitely weren't watching back then, but they tried with MVP, and they had this little faction called the Hurt Club, and you know it was in a dead period for wrestling, and you fans will attack me for it because you think that you know all this stuff is great, but that I can barely watch now, and I'm really starting to get into it, but back then when the Hurt Club was on, I just couldn't do it. But Lashley was, I guess, a bigger star back then and used more in the main event scene back then, but certainly never, ever at the top of the, at the top of the card, but not the, he's 47. He's just, he's not going to get there.
No, but that's what I'm saying. When it could have happened, and even looking at him today, he's in phenomenal shape for somebody to be that old. I give him credit. I remember he was one of those people that we met afterwards in the parking lot when they all piled into the car. And I remember my buddy at the time, he had remarked that he had touched Lashley and he felt like a brick wall. He said he had never felt anybody that a human being that felt like that. He just touched him on the shoulder. And but that's my point. He looks like a million bucks. He could wrestle. Why was it bad writing, or did he just not? There was something missing in him.
Charisma.
You don't think he has charisma?
I don't think he's not believable. Like that's to me, he's never been somebody that's believable. I've never invested in him.
Right. Well, there you go. I mean, that and that's the thing. I don't know. I just know something went wrong, or something is wrong. I just know he has all the aesthetics to look like a champion that you could really get behind just the same way you did with Brock. But one thing I can say is that even though Brock is not he's not a talker, Brock airs a presence about him.
Yeah.
There's an energy around it. Just even in his, the fact that he's so antisocial and he's so wound up and tense over it, being in those spaces, they really grind him up. You can see it. You can feel it through the camera. You know, watching it at home, you can feel it. And I wonder if that natural tension is what people are feeling from Brock, because there's something heavy going on. You can feel it when you look at him. And it just makes me wonder about Lashley, like, you know, because he looks like a million bucks and he can wrestle. So it's not like an Ahmed Johnson type of situation where he looked great and he was given a push, but he was horrible with a talent. He was, you know, arrogant and he was sloppy. It was not one of those kind of situations, but like you said, there's something, he doesn't have the charisma. There's something missing inside of him that translates into a champion. Just something's wrong. And it's a shame because Leslie looks amazing and it's a waste. Sorry.
What was your favorite segment then? I mean, you didn't have one, but if you had to pick one, was it that? Was it the men's?
No, I hated all of it. The tag match. Damian Priest, what is going on with that? I mean, Bruce, when he starts undressing, when he gets into the ring and he's just playing with the hair and he's taking off his clothes like somebody's lover. I mean, the whole thing is unreal. I mean, it's like, what is going on here? I mean, I don't know what he's trying to convey. It's just a whole lot of something that going on that made me very uncomfortable. It was very uncomfortable. The timing with the moves were so awful in that match. It was far too realistic that the pacing of when they move, you know, in between doing the spots and, oh, he countered and the guy returns with, you know, with a counter. And it's just like, I'm like, what is going on here? I mean, and the guy Bates, I couldn't really tell what his stupid name was. I mean, he's wearing on those white trunks and they look like, the design makes him look like tiny whiteys. I mean, it's just it's underwear design. It's ridiculous. They were punching each other. I did like how the match ended with the move off the top rope. Now, I don't know if that is their finishing move, but I have to give them credit for being able to pull that off. I mean, the guy jumped off the top rope and he stomped the guy in the stomach. And I thought that was incredible. That was the only thing that I liked out of the entire pay-per-view. So that may be the one point. But I thought the belts looked disgusting. They were ugly. They looked tacky, just like everything with, I mean, think, it's the product is just so tacky looking. Everything's just disgusting to me. I know I sound like an old man and I don't like it.
So what'd you think about Drew McIntyre, Delta Burke going over in the main event, going on to face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania? Is that
Bruce?
Does that excite you?
Yeah, he has no presence either. He's the worst. He's the worst. The only interesting thing about him is his hairstyle choice. Like the fact that he legit went to a salon and asked for that and has somebody maintaining that. That's the most fascinating thing about him, that he would legit do that. It's insane to me. I mean, what really is going on in the world? And you think about, and look what they were able to do. Thank you, Hulk Hogan. Good or bad, he put wrestling up there where they could draw, you know, that many people to see that many idiots do that kind of stupid performance. It's ridiculous.
Would you have picked anybody else besides Drew McIntyre to go over in that match? Like Seth Rollins is the guy, right? He's going to face Seth Rollins. Would you have picked Randy Orton or Lashley? Would you have picked anybody else in that match to go over? Or do you think that I'm trying to get something out of you here, tangible for your review of the match?
Yeah, and listen, no, it was ridiculous. I mean, what's going on
LA with Randy? Night?
Randy Orton is one of the best wrestlers of all time, but his time is come and gone. There's just nothing there for me.
He's never ever going to carry the load. He's just not that guy. Never been that guy, not that guy.
Yeah, he was a great player, but his time is just past, period. It's over for him. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just the lack of energy, and it could just be the product of where they have him placed, and it's just maybe it's impossible to get over, but he seems like he's there. It was just better for him years ago when it was more magic associated with him, and that's okay. I mean, he's been in the game for a great many years now, and he is a legend in his own right. The man will go down as one of the best wrestlers of all time, and I can attest to that. I believe that Randy Orton was amazing. But I find him, it's just aimless. It's a very aimless existence. When I look at that, I just see people going nowhere, doing stuff. A lot of stuff that goes nowhere, that means absolutely nothing, with very ugly belts on the line.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I mean, you know, but if you find the product good, you speak on it, you can defend it. This is just my opinion. I'm actually curious, and don't feel bad that you may like something. I may not agree, but I'm interested in hearing what you think.
Well,
Tell me what you liked about the matches you liked.
Well, and the
what
women
you thought about them.
The women's chamber match was great. I thought Tiffany Stratton looked like a star, and she will be a star. I thought Rhea Ripley retaining the title was the way to go, and she'll go to face Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, which is going to be a fantastic match, and I think that they also set up, besides Drew McIntyre going to face Seth Rollins, and you have that 4-5 person main event picture with Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, The Rock is going to be involved somehow. Cody goes and challenges The Rock. I think that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Then you have Rollins versus McIntyre. And I think they're starting to set up a Randy Orton versus Logan Paul, LA Knight versus AJ Styles. I think you're going to end up seeing a very entertaining WrestleMania take shape. It's not what it was when CM Punk was going to be in the picture as well. You know, he's injured. He tore his tricep.
But so, Bruce, hold on. Let me interrupt you. That's another thing with this wrestling where nothing means nothing. right? So in that, the Elimination Chamber, Logan Paul is doing these amazing uppercuts to Kevin Owens. I mean, he's just laying them in. And the way I like the way, I actually like the way he was laying them in.
Yep.
Owens just, he gets her, he's going from side to side. Ooh, goo. Each hit is going goo, goo, left to right. And then he just counters like all of that meant nothing. I mean, it was just like, what is going on here? I mean, this is ridiculous. If a man hits you in the head, you know, he's uppercutting you six or seven times with all this
might. He's a boxer. He's a boxer too.
Right. You just do not recover that way. You just, they don't, nothing they do feels good to me. They, everything is weightless and has no impact. The man was laying him in and he countered like nothing. He didn't even like get mad or, you know, or whatever to power up. He just countered. It's so poetic. It literally is like watching. We always say that wrestling is like a man's ballet, and that is not necessarily true, but it definitely is true today. The way they pace and move, it's so graceful and gallant. Look at them. It's a whole scene.
1 to 10. 1 to 10. Rate the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, absolutely. 1. They don't deserve 1. They don't deserve 1. It's a mockery and a disgrace.
You going to watch WrestleMania?
For the show.
Well, you have to, right? Yeah. You're
for back the show.
In the mix. You're back in the mix now. You going to do it with the Fox and the Hound? Bill After?
Is that place still there? We have to look that up. With the we'd be recording from the Fox and the Hound. Good Lord. Good food. We were able to at least get some free meals out of it.
And lots of drinks.
Yes. Well, if you don't know, I'm almost certain that I have that commercial from that where you spoke about Albert and the women because he was obsessed. You know, we got to play that commercial. Pat Bruce helped me produce that commercial.
Patrick Dial, right? The guy that used to work at WNJC, or Pat Roar, Pat Benjamin.
No, not Pat Benjamin, the guy Pat. He was the editor there. You know, he ran the boards and everything. And he used that horrible card, like playing cards, making that noise as a transition.
I remember that.
Yeah, I hate that. But we gotta pull that out of the archives. I think I know where that is. If you can't find it,
that's an all time classic. Yeah, you gotta find it. You gotta find it.
Yeah. Hey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, before we get out of here, I got to play. So last week I complained about podcast host. I complained about callers. One of our original callers to VOC Nation back when we did the radio, and he still, I think, calls into Brady's show, is Malcolm Wildman. And I told you Malcolm won a contest. I had to take him to WrestleMania. He had my phone number and would call and leave messages, fill up my voicemail. Jake the Snake Roberts on his podcast talked about Malcolm Wildman. I'm going to try to play this for everybody. Hopefully you can hear it.
Out in California, that goes to all the pay-per-views out there on the West Coast. And this guy, unfortunately, is a Hulkamaniac.
Ugh.
And he is the loudest.
See?
You can hear his voice. He'll come to a Comic-Con and you can hear him all over the building. What you going to do? You know, oh my God. He's going to choke the son of a bitch.
Yes.
And he came to a signing of mine, man.
Love you, Malcolm.
It was so bad. He was so loud that I finally told him, I said, look, bring that guy to the front of the line, let me sign his stuff, and then throw his freaking ass out. Because he was pissing people off, man.
Right.
He was just so loud, dude. Jake Roberts! The Hulkster, he just kept on going and going. And he couldn't even talk. Yeah, he was the loudest, man.
Oh, there you go. Malcolm Wildman pissing people off all around the country.
You know, it's funny because, it's funny how life is, because Malcolm Wildman is actually one of the most decent human beings I ever met in my life. I mean, he legit is a very nice, kind-hearted person. And he, but he's so outrageous. He attracts, like, remember the people on Facebook? Like, we got sucked into their world. Like, I remember they made a fake Malcolm Wildman Facebook page. and I think they had him soliciting.
Was it?
Yeah, like, he started having, like, soliciting for gay sex and stuff like that. like he's the kind of person who completely warrants that kind of mockery while being one of the sweetest person people you could ever meet in your life. It is the
he was so upset that they did that to him too. He would call our show to
to denounce that. I mean, it's amazing how life is. Like, it's both tragic and humorous, because Malcolm legit is one of the nicest people you could ever meet in your life. He means nobody any harm. He's just a super fan. He just loves wrestling to this extreme high degree, and he's unashamed. And it's just that he loved the Raiders. I mean, they knew him. He was a character even amongst Raiders fans. Wasn't he banned from something, like, I don't know, but he you know, it's not that he's violent or crazy. He really is a very kind-hearted, very sweet person, you know, but he's one of those people where you understand why people mock him and why he draws that kind of negative attention.
It's insane. Insane. Bruce,
and wait, did you hear the little dork with his, you know, he's a Hulkamaniac, and he's like, oh.
Hogan opened his mouth and said some really stupid things. So I think people just like to pile on. I think they just think they have to do it sometimes.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what a pathetic existence.
I know.
You know, when is Jake the Snake interesting outside of the WWF that Hulk Hogan built? You know, we really going to talk about when he was running around with those long karate pants on? And he was in the WCCW. Come on, please.
I know.
Him walking around with a damn ass snake on that platform is where he was able to excel at his talent.
That's it.
You know, and that man's gonna talk to you little punk. Like, you just, you little weasel, sissy, cunty, whiny, baby. You're the can't stand Marcus, them.
Marcus, you can direct your comments to
Brady Hicks at Brady whatever.
Hicks. Yeah, Brady Hicks on X at Brady Hicks.
No, and I really do mean that. Reach out to Brady, because Brady is the one who handles all of my public relations stuff. I actually don't handle it through the VOC Nation. So reach out to Brady and I'll respond through his account, because this is ridiculous. I'm not about these whiny, cunty, sissy, nasty, weaselly, miserable little dweebs, you know, of the wrestling world and the wrestling discussions. So reach me at Brady at X. Right, what is it, Bruce, again?
At Brady Hicks.
Wait, say the whole thing, please.
At Brady Hicks. At Brady Hicks. That's it. At,
where?
It's on X, on Twitter. X is the new Twitter.
That's Elon, right.
X.
Say it's something to me. That's right. Say something to me. Reach me. Reach out to me. I'm not afraid of you guys. Reach out to me.
At Brady Hicks.
Pile it on, because I'm not afraid. Pile it on. At
Brady Hicks at probably at gmail.com, I would think.
Exactly.
You just get them.
Come get at them, me, bro.
Brady Hicks at gmail.com. At Brady Hicks. Should I give out the phone number?
Please do.
215. I can't.
Give out the show number. Give out the show number. Because if they want me to respond, they need to call into Brady's show and let them know. If they don't, then they don't. If they do, then I'll come on Brady's show and defend my point. And I'll speak about those little whiny little crybabies, and they're just whining. You know, think about it. They all do these little everything's in exasperation. Cornette's always Everything's what man goes around going, can you imagine, Bruce, if your father every time, every something he goes, you know, because your dad, I'm trying to remember what his voice is like. He'd be like, oh. Can you imagine that? Like, what would you think of your father? If he was, oh. You didn't lose respect for him, right? I mean, wouldn't you?
That's right.
If you, if you, like, he's, for instance, Daddy, I need some money to go buy some dungarees, right? If you were to say that to your father, and he goes, it's ridiculous, man. They always have these breathing exasperations. Like,
if you want to challenge Namar on Tuesday nights at 7:30, you got to type into your browser, callvoc.com. Callvoc.com. And that'll get to Brady, who handles Namar's affairs.
Come at me, bro.
At Brady Hicks on X. Follow this show on your favorite podcast platform. You got it. The only way to get Wrestling with History is through VOC Nation. We don't warranty any of the other shows on VOC Nation, just ours. So follow and then look for Wrestling with History on the feed. Make sure you rate and review and subscribe. It's totally free. And then follow us on X. Follow us, our show on X, at WWHVOC. And we had a good time with you here today. We're going to launch an email also that you guys can interact with the show via email for all of you old school people like Namar. So we'll do that. Namar, we're going to get some LJN figure reviews coming up, right?
If I could ever get into the system.
There we go. We're going to launch that email, and Namar will be able to get them in the system too. All right, that's it for today. We went all over the place, so hopefully you hung with us, and we appreciate it. Keep listening, keep liking, keep telling your friends and your neighbors. We appreciate you. We'll be back next week with some more WrestleMania fodder, some more complaints about the podcast hosts of the world, and who knows, maybe even some feedback from you. We love you. We're out of here. Hit our theme music. Bye, everybody.